These practices have been phenomenal. The energy of the coaching staff has been extraordinary. And the support staff all around has been so darn helpful and on their game. I'm really thankful and appreciative of what I see right now. I'm happy.
You talked about the staff that you assembled. Mm-hmm. With Coach Marion specifically, could you kind of give us some insight into that selection process and what have been your early impressions of
this? Let me tell you something, man. When you assemble a coaching staff, you're thinking of several different components. And to hit them all is very unusual. You want to hit a multitude of them. But you're mainly looking for coordinators that have that head coach feel. Like, I want them to be the head coach of the offense, the head coach of the defense, special teams as a head coach. Like, somebody to lead that charge, that I don't have to yell, scream, fuss, or even cuss, knowing that I don't use profanity. But we have those type of men in-house, and I'm appreciative. I'm truly appreciative, and I'm thankful. These guys are unbelievable. I cannot wait to, we're going to invite you guys to practice soon so you can get a glimpse of how we get down instead of guessing. Putting stuff out there that just guessing. I'd rather invite you in house and you can see it.
Yeah. Hey, Coach.
What's up, boss?
Good to see you. First of all, my condolences to you and your team.
Thank you.
And secondly, building off Adam's question about your staff, I got to hear from Coach Nibla and Coach Marion, and they're like you, men of faith. So why was that important to make sure you have those kind of?
That wasn't the target. The target is first and foremost men that can coach their butts off. Men that could understand today's players, men that understand today's time and the parents of sort in recruiting wise, but then to have on top of that men of faith, that just takes it over top. Because I know we're not going to struggle with insecurity or insufficiencies or things that when it gets rough, we're going to wobble. We're not going to do that because we have some men in that locker room that are stable. At home and on the field. And I'm proud of that. I really am.
I was curious, kind of following up on Adam's question. There's been a lot made about Brennan Marion's go-go offense, right?
And yeah.
It seems like it's not necessarily a conventional look. What stuck out to you about going that route?
The points per game. Everybody I interviewed, they averaged over 30 points per game. 30 points per game is our threshold. When we score 30 points per game, we win. When we don't, we lose. When we hold people under a certain number as well, we win.
All right. Welcome into a new Buff Stampede Radio, our first live episode with myself and William Gardner together as members of the On3 Rivals Network. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And it was good to get a chance to chat with Deion Coach Prime Sanders on Friday at his press conference, get some of his early spring ball thoughts. Just a dark cloud over the program, though, all week because of the passing of Don Ponder. And we'll start off there because I think that's more important than the football stuff we're going to get into in this podcast, which I'm looking forward to. But when you see somebody pass away at the age of 23, it's hard to move past that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a learning experience for, especially in football, where everybody, you know, they're young and think they're invincible and what have you. I mean, it's the same thing in the military to a large extent. But, you know, when I was part of the program in the 1980s, we had this happen three times. Derek Singleton died in 1982 from spinal meningitis that came out of nowhere. And then Ed Reinhart got injured in a game at Oregon in 1984. And then, of course, Sal died in 1989. So, you know, that decade, we were starting to think, man, there's some, we got the worst luck in the world. And I think that, you know, everything that happened after each one of those incidents was things that the team decided to do, not the coaches, you know, in order to honor their teammate. And each guy has to figure out how do they think is the best way to go forward, you know. And so I think it is a learning process for young men, you know, and I think it's very frightening. I think it's very scary because you feel like I'm big and strong, man, ain't nothing can stop me. You know, when Sal got sick, he went from really the most physical guy I'd ever known to dead in like 4 months. You know, how the hell are you supposed to process that at that age? So,
yeah,
I think it's, you know, I think you got to let the players sort of dictate how you go forward with this. You know, and I know, in those incidents back in the 80s, you know, there's idiots outside the program, didn't know what the hell was going on, saying the coaches were using this for publicity and blah, blah, blah. But it was all player driven, man, because this is your friend, you know. So I think it's a thing that can bring a team together, you know, and I don't mean to be, I don't want to look at it as a, you know, what can it do for us? I mean, there's just no way to look at it except it's a huge loss.
But you can honor him by having success in his game, right? And I think that's what's going to drive this football team.
Well, I think, you know, you see, and then you see sometimes like that man at 1989 team, you know, Sal was still alive for the first, I think it was first two games, and then he died during the week, and then that team went up to Washington. That Washington team didn't stand a chance, man. I mean, they just ran into a buzzsaw that day because all those guys were going to take that emotion out against that opposing team. So I think that, you know, I don't know, each guy has to decide how to best honor their friend, you know, and you can't tell them how to do that as an adult. You just have to be there to help them through it.
Well, I thought they did a fantastic job of that this past week. Life of Celebration event that was streamed so folks could log in. You know, Monday it was a difficult press conference to go through. Obviously, we were going to be talking football that day, and we got to hear some stories about Dom and kind of his personality. You know, just seeing a picture of his car, like it just is it stuck with me all week. They're going to have a patch for Don Ponder to honor him this year, but I think it's really more, what's going to be in these guys' hearts in how they kind of honor him, that's going to be the story going forward.
Yeah, and I think it's a lesson to all of us, you know. Say the things you need to say because you never know when's your last moment.
Yeah. They got back on the turf this week. I'm anxious to get some of your thoughts. You know, obviously started the week and had heavy hearts throughout the entire week and will continue to going forward. But you also saw some fieriness out there on the practice fields.
Yeah, and I think that's the other lesson. And I think it's a lesson that we learn even more in the military is life got to go on. You know, you got to get up and keep doing your job. And so these guys did a good job of that. You know, so there was a lot of fire out there and there's some controversy about it. We'll get to that. But hey, I wanted to say before we get started, I saw your analysis with Leo.
Yeah.
And he's making us look like slobs, man. He had on a nice coat and a nice turtleneck and making us old guys look. You and Brian showing up in t-shirts.
Well, yeah, I'll get dressed up for games or big press conferences. It's sad the percentage of my life that I spend wearing hoodies outside of those situations. Leo is a great kid and he's got a really bright future, and I really enjoyed getting to know him. You and I went out to see Josiah Manu, who is now on Colorado's roster, play with Thompson Valley this past season out at Roosevelt, which is where Leo Rivera won a state championship. So that was a fun experience. And he's going to keep growing, and sky's the limit for Leo.
Yeah, he's going to be great. He's going to be a great addition. And I note that somebody on the board already noticed the fan has turned up.
But, that's amazing.
It's difficult to know what to take out of a spring practice. Again, one of the things I thought was watching them was the offensive line looked really good. Okay, does that mean the front seven sucks on defense? I don't know. Who knows? You know, you can't really make too many sweeping judgments about anything because you're playing against yourself. But yeah, the intensity was there, and guys looked like they were getting after it. There's a lot of speed on this offense, but then there's some guys on the second in the second. Like there was a play with Boo Carter, covering Cam
Perry.
Just like he was painted on him, man. I mean, that is first level talent right there, you know.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things to be excited about. I don't know, you know, it's like somebody in the board is talking about everything's going to suck, blah blah blah. But I don't know if you can't be excited about a game at the game in March. I don't even know why be a fan, you know. This is when everybody's equal right now. So you know, it remains a lot to be seen as to whether they can bring these guys together. I was a little surprised. I went through some of the videos and I looked at how they were running the offensive line. I'm gonna tell you before I even say this, there is nothing more useless than an offensive line depth chart in spring, because it will not beat us. Because there's a lot of competition. But that number one offensive line was Leon Bell at left tackle, Chauncey Good in the left guard, Demetrius Hunter, Jose Soto at right guard. Is a little surprising to me, but probably shouldn't be because he knows the offense.
But real quick to cut you off, I walked by Jose Soto, Leo and I did, right after doing that video we talked about. That's a big kid.
Yeah,
he's not tall. He's not tall, but he's stout.
Right.
He looks the part.
And then same with Chauncey Gooden. He's not super tall either, but he's wide. Yeah. You know, and both of those guys are, you know, there was one video came out this week with Chauncey Gooden just overwhelming a defensive tackle and putting him on his back. Now, a lot of people can say a defensive tackle got a butt kick, but that's also what you teach them to do. If you're getting knocked backwards, you don't get on skates and push back into linebackers. You fall your ass down on the ground, you know, and make a pile. So again, I don't know. Does that mean that defensive tackle's not any good? I couldn't see who it was exactly, but it was very exciting to see Chauncey Gooden playing like that, you know.
How about them putting him in a 2X jersey? Did you see that clip?
Yeah, where he couldn't breathe, man. It's like he looked like their old saying in the South is 10 pounds of sausage in a 5-pound casing.
I'm glad Coach was like, okay, I see you're struggling here. Let's rein back on some of our guidelines here just for you for today, and we'll get this fixed.
I don't know how they got him in the damn thing. Now I remember back when I was with the program in the 80s, they used to get them jerseys that were too tight so that nobody could hold them, right? And then they just cut them. They make a little cut on the side so that he had a little room to breathe, you know, because if you got an offensive lineman without a belly, he can't play at this level. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, as you've always said, watching those guys at the combine with their shirts off is not a fun sight, but that's the way they got to be to do what they got to do.
Oh, and it's crazy to me these 330-pound guys can run the way they do, and I think we got some of those. And then the right tackle on the number one offensive line was Taj White. The second line, the left tackle was Xavier Payne. I'm telling you, man, watch that kid, Xavier Payne. He's going to play this year, and he looks good. Javon McFadden was the left guard. Demetrius Hunter played both first and second team, which is a little concerning. Wonder why they don't have somebody else. But Larry Johnson was at right guard with the twos, and Bo Hewley at right tackle with the twos. But like I said, this is not going to be, you know, year after year after year, you see the starting offensive line in spring, and it is not what it is in game one, and usually game one come August, you know. So I don't know. You take everything in spring with a grain of salt, but what the hell if you can't have fun with this? I'm not sure what to tell you to do, you know.
Yeah. I thought Cree Thomas asserted himself his first week as a Colorado Buffalo. Both we'll get into the whole controversy there, but I mean, he even had a pick on day one. Maurice Williams, incoming cornerback from New Orleans, which we were both really high on.
Right.
I had him as our most underrated guy in this class.
Right.
And Coach Prime said, quote, in 2 years, that kid is going to be him. I'm anxious to watch his development. He got a pick day one as well.
And I remember I think he was the one that we just raved about his film. You know, every single play was crazy highlights.
Well, Preston Ashley as well. I mean, kid's film was crazy good. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, some of these young guys can play, you know, and I don't know. I think what else can we take from this first week? It's hard. You know, the first week is kind of getting, especially with this many new guys, teaching everybody what they're doing. You know, I want to go back to Coach Prime was talking about that we played in that clip about his coaches. And I want to read a piece from your interview with Chris Marv. And he talked about, you know, getting this position 5 days before spring ball. And he said, I had to put the defensive coordinator hat back on. And then these are the questions he's asking himself. What is the plan? What is the vision? What is the lexicon we want to utilize? What do we want to do schematically? How do we want to approach our conversations with the players? How do we organize ourselves as a staff? How do we be extremely meticulous? How do we teach winning football? Now, he's asking all the right questions, you know.
Yeah.
How he follows up on that, because, you know, extremely meticulous. That's the thing that gets lost by a lot of coaches. You know, you got to cover everything. How do we teach winning football? Because kids don't come in at this level knowing how to do that. You know, they got to learn it. So I like hearing all those questions from him, and we'll see how it turns into reality. But I also like Coach Prime's talking about that the offensive coordinators should be guys that look like head coaches, right? And I think we've upgraded at both spots significantly on offense. A little bit of a question mark still on defense, but you know, one of the things that made Bill McCartney couldn't coach. He was a bad game day coach. I mean, you know, and maybe bad is too strong, but he was not a solid game day coach. But what worked was he had coordinators that all went on to be head coaches. You know, because he had coordinators, and so like Coach Prime said, this guy's the head coach at offense, this guy's the head coach at defense. So if you've got quality guys in those positions, you know, it can make up for a lot of issues elsewhere. So I'm excited to see what these two men do. I think Brandon Marion's a proven product. And then Chris Marv, you know, I think people complained about his time at Virginia Tech. But, you know, if we had the points per game that he had there last year, we'd be pretty happy with it.
Right. Yeah, I think there is certainly a debate about that defensive coordinator situation and if they're going to be in a better spot come fall when they kick off at Georgia Tech, had they been versus Robert Livingston being, you know, still the defensive coordinator going into year three. We saw with Robert Livingston when he had a couple really solid linebackers and a couple really solid cornerbacks, his scheme worked really well at this level. Last year, they didn't have that. They struggled. With Chris Marv, they're talking about playing less man coverage. What are your thoughts on that, just from a philosophy standpoint for his scheme going forward?
Yeah, I think that's great. I wrote that down, more zone coverage on defense. And I think, you know, if all you're going to do is play man coverage, you know, it gets predictable, and they know they can work things against you. If you can just mix it up a little bit and play some zones and man, and especially make it fit what's going on in the game or what the other team is doing, I think that's perfect. I think letting some of these guys play zone, you play some zones out there, and you can hide what you're doing, you can disguise what you're doing, and I think you can trick some, especially at this level where quarterbacks are not as savvy and polished as they are at the NFL level. You know, you can really trick them. just by moving guys around and get to, let's, you know, set up before the snap like one thing and then slip into other zones and all kinds of different things you can do with it. So just sticking with man all the time, you know, you're taking a lot. It's like playing poker with no bluffs, you know?
Yep, exactly. Well, this, as I said at the top, is our first show since we've been on the On3 Rivals Network. And we are right now running a really hard to turn down promo. You can get 5 months of access for just $1. Go to buffstampede.com or you can go to On3 and navigate your way to the Colorado page. We've got an app. Have you downloaded the app yet, William?
I don't, you know, I'm 100 years old, man. I'm not real big on doing stuff on the phone, to be honest with you.
Okay. Most of our traffic does come through, you know, the phones nowadays. So hopefully if folks have made their way over to buffstampede.com on the On3 Rivals Network, that they've been able to navigate and find that app. It's been a lot of work, but can finally kind of just catch my breath a second here this weekend, you know?
Yeah. I mean, this is a hard time for you and Brian, all those guys, but somebody on the chat asked about to address the lack of a special teams coach. I think that's a good thing to cover.
Yeah, no, we're going to have some fun with the chat on the other side of this. We're going to, and I want everybody before we start this ad break to think about which four buffs would you like Taco Bell to have as part of their promotion for the Buffs Box this coming year. These will be the four players that they feature on cups, that they put on t-shirts, that they throw out at games. I've actually thrown this out to X. I've thrown it out to our Inside the Herd message board on buffstampede.com. I've got some early results, but I'm going to tally some of these chat votes in there as well. So I will get to that on the other side of this break. Chicken bacon ranch street chalupas and a chicken bacon ranch nacho fry option at Taco Bell. This is Taco Bell at it again with the best innovation in the industry. And now they are combining their savory slow roasted chicken inside a cult classic format with their new limited time only chicken bacon ranch street chalupas. Get your set of two street-sized chalupa shells filled with slow-roasted chicken, flavorful bacon, freshly prepared pico de gallo, shredded cheese, and avocado ranch sauce. And this is a chalupa shell that is coated with cheddar, so you can't go wrong here. Taco Bell isn't just limiting this Americana flavor combination to its street chalupa format. But why not get this pairing on Taco Bell's iconic nacho fries? These loaded fries deliver everything you love about nacho fries, but also leveled up with slow roasted chicken, bacon, nacho cheese, pico de gallo, and avocado ranch sauce. And don't forget to add one of the new items from the Taco Bell Lux Value Menu with 10 items for $3 or under. The Lux Value Menu at Taco Bell delivers bold, irresistible flavor and crave-worthy items at unbelievable prices. Nobody delivers everyday value and supports your hometown teams like Taco Bell. Live Moss at Taco Bell. All right, back into the show. And the Buffaloes are going to be supported again by Taco Bell in 2026 with another Buffs Box promotion. We had a fun time promoting that this past season. So we're throwing it out there. Which four guys do you want on the cups this year? Last year, we can't say some of these names, but Juju was on there. Quinn Gibson was on there. We'll leave it at that. the other two are not in Boulder anymore.
Real quick, before we go into mine, I just want to ask, was there anybody else that stood out to you in that first week? Because like one guy that caught my attention was Richard Young at running back.
Yes, definitely him. Cam Perry at receiver, yeah, for sure. Cree Thomas I mentioned at cornerback. Right. Those were some of the guys that stood out to me. But yeah, you know they didn't put the pads on until Friday, so the lines I'm kind of like good. Right. Gooden, of course, he's kind of gone viral with some stuff. But yeah, no, I thought those were some of the things. Yeah, again, you want a little bit more of a sample size, right?
Right, right. Yeah, and the first week, you know, everybody's brand new. We got new coordinators on both sides, so everybody's got to learn some stuff. And so, you know, there's not a whole lot to take from spring ball, from the first week of spring ball ever, really. But I think it looked more organized than I expected. And like you said, a lot of heat and passion. So that was good, you know, and a lot of new guys that seem to be getting along pretty well.
Yeah. So far the voting, let me get your four guys, William.
Okay.
Then I'll give you the top four in the voting right now.
And, you know, right or wrong, my thinking was it should be four guys that were here last year and stuck around. So
that's a strategy some people had. Yep.
Yeah. And I picked two guys from offense and two guys from defense. And the two offensive guys were pretty easy for me. It was Joseph Williams and Yaya Atia. You know, I know Juju and Quentin had it last year, so let's go with somebody new, give somebody new an opportunity. But Joseph Williams and Yaya Atia, I think Yaya Atia would be a blast in one of those commercials. and then on defense, I went with Quincy Wiggins and Ben Finneseth, you know, and I like Quincy Wiggins because that kid stuck it out, keeps coming back every year and working hard and trying to get better. And I think just Ben Finneseth is really, you know, like the – you know, the story of the little guy making good, you know, the walk-on who stuck it out and got a scholarship and is playing. So that was my four.
I like your four. That's a good criteria. I like that. And I will say right now, Juju Lewis does lead the voting, which makes sense.
Yeah.
I can see both sides of that argument. You know, he's probably got other NIL. Well, not probably. He's got other NIL opportunities. He was on the cup last year. But the other side of that argument is that he's the starting quarterback. He's kind of the face of this program now. So it makes sense that you would maybe want to have him part of that promotion again this year. But I kind of agree with you, honestly. I would go Ben Finneseth for sure and Yaya Atia. Those two on the commercial alone,
you wouldn't even have to script it. Just put them out there and be yourself.
I'm putting Joseph Williams in there. He's got a personality as well. He's one of the guys you picked as well. And then I'm going to go with one guy that's new. I'm going to go Gideon ESPN Lamprin because it's one of the best stories in terms of a transfer coming into this program ever. And he's got a great personality too. I think the four of those guys could create Taco Bell commercial TV magic.
Yeah, that could be a lot of fun, you know, and I think you should think about, you want to think about somebody that's going to make the commercial fun and memorable and whatever. And you know, I guess the guy picking returning guys to me goes to speak to the loyalty of which one of the persons on the cup didn't have so much of. Hope he gets his Bentley. I'll leave it at that. But you talked about Juju and, you know, I don't like quarterbacks, man. I just don't like them. They got an attitude and they think they're great and whatever. And the best thing about a quarterback is when their arms go flailing like this and somebody's face mac is between their shoulder blades and the snot comes out of their nose.
Not if it's your own quarterback, though. Come on, man. What are we doing here?
I don't know, you know.
But so Juju was one in terms of the voting. Actually, Boo Carter is number two. You know, a way to maybe keep him fully engaged. Gideon Lamprin was number three in the voting. And who was fourth was Joseph Williams. So folks agreed with us on that one there.
And who ultimately makes the choice? Is it Taco Bell or is it Coach Prim?
Yeah, they're making this a fun part of the promotion to get people's opinion on this. Danny Scudero is not far behind, though, in the voting. And actually, basketball player Isaiah Johnson's got quite a few votes as well. But I don't know if they're launching that around football season. I don't know. Isaiah Johnson Cup would do well because that kid is a stud. Let's get into the chat here a little bit. You mentioned there's some comments here.
Yeah, the whole thing about that special teams coordinator, I think we could talk about that.
Yeah, we'll get into that. D Nice 901, congrats on the promotion, Adam. Thanks so much. Difficult decision to make the move, but very happy with the new spots and excited about the future. The fan is humming back there, Mr. Gardner.
Yeah, I said I wondered if somebody would notice it's going faster, but yeah, I think we're back on Rivals for almost, first time in almost a decade. Rivals is something different now, but everything anymore gets bought up by something else. So I think it's a good place for you.
Yeah,
I go where you go, man. You know.
Well, I appreciate that, and I really do genuinely hand on a Bible. Hope that this is the last move.
Yeah, that's what I said in some posts. I was like, let's hope this is the last place we got to go. Yeah. And you putting up some of these things, like this one says, last year was supposed to have talent. What are the odds we'll hear the same? But they had talent. They had bowl game talent. There's no denying it. It just didn't get coached well enough. You know, we had a dead guy as an offensive coordinator, and we ran out of defensive linemen is one thing on the defense, but then I don't think that Livingston did a particularly great job, and the linebackers we brought in were no good. So we had talent in a lot of positions, but we lacked it at a couple of positions, and we didn't use it properly in other positions. So there was talent there, and from Mr. Corkman thing about once bitten, twice shy. Well, I don't know. You know, it's like I said earlier. It's like you can't take a whole lot from spring because you're going against yourself and half of it's experimental and trying to figure stuff out. But, you know, the whole point of being a fan is to have fun, I think, you know, enjoy your program or whatever. And if you can't have fun with it in March, I guess you probably just need to do something else. You know, go fishing, ice fishing.
Yeah, we got another question from the Cork Man. Do you think the move by Robert Livingston is upwards, lateral, or a downward move? Debatable, I would say, for Robert Livingston. I would imagine he kind of realized that he's an NFL guy.
Yeah. To me, it's not whether it's upwards, lateral, or downward. He just didn't want to be in college. He wanted to be back in the NFL. So to him, it's probably an upward move. Because it's back into the place where he wants to be, and now you know he can start climbing that ladder. I don't think he liked recruiting. I don't think he liked having to teach the game as much as you do at the college game. So I think to him it was just getting back home where he thought he belonged.
Somebody called you a grandpa in the chat. How do you feel about that?
I don't know, man. You know, they've listen. That's almost one of the nicer things I've been called around here. You know, so. some people call me things that when it comes up on the board, it's just asterisks and symbology, you know, because it gets censored.
All right, here we go. Kevin Dorsey 3AA1 said, speak on lack of special teams coordinator. I put a post on our message board. Did you see that, William, in terms of the two different philosophies?
Yeah.
I'll get your thoughts on this first.
Well, I've never, you know, I've coached on a lot of teams. I've never coached on a team that had a special teams coordinator, you know, and every special team was the responsibility of a particular assistant coach, you know. So wherever I went, I wanted to kick off coverage and the punt coverage. And those were my two things, right? You know, and so in addition to my, you know, either the offensive or defensive line, but that made me sort of a specialist on those things. And you know, I never gave up punt or kickoff team I ever coached gave up a long run, okay, because that was my thing and I took pride in it, you know. So I think to me it doesn't, I think having a special teams coordinator is just a waste of possession, quite frankly. I think, like you said, the teams without it seem to have better special teams, and it seems to me you got a guy making a salary and I don't know what the hell he's supposed to be doing, but one guy trying to cover all special teams doesn't seem to work out so well to me. So I don't think it's an issue. I think as long as it's got to come down to the head coach holding those coaches accountable for each special team, though, you know. And you got to bring in a coach like when I was a punt coverage and kickoff coverage. I didn't coach the punters or the kickers because I don't know anything about that. But we had somebody else that would do that. And I made sure those guys got the work that they needed to make them better in their fundamentals and whatever. And the fun thing about punt kickoff coverage, you know, I told every time I got that position, I told the head coach, you got to give me the guys I want. You got to give me the guys I want, you know. And if I get those guys, you know, I'm looking for guys that'll run through a brick wall, you know. on kickoff coverage. And then on punt coverage, what was fun to me was we always had, you know, fake punts and whatever. And, you know, there was one game, you know, we were tight game, and it's fourth down. I went to the coach and said, you gotta let me call this play. And he's like, okay, it better work, you know. And the kid ran for a touchdown, you know, on that fake, because I've been watching them all through the game, and they bailed out, right? There was nobody staying at home, and that's what you do. You know, you watch what the other team does, and you react to it. And so we ran a fake off of that and got a touchdown. That to me, is letting coaches do the things that will help you win, you know. So I'm not a big fan of special teams coordinators. I don't think it really matters.
If I was a head coach in college, I would never have a special teams coordinator. I think you nailed it there. Like, giving a little bit of responsibility to each coach and kind of having it as a just kind of a team effort, because, you know, a lot of positions, yeah, you can have one guy coaching it with running backs. But when you get out there to practice on special teams, there's so many facets happening at once. One guy can't do it properly. So you're going to have to lean on the whole staff anyway. This way, you really give the ownership to each of those coaches in that specific role. And as a head coach, you can kind of challenge those guys in terms of breaking down the grades with those specific aspects of special teams each week to challenge your staff. And I think that you do need to have somebody that has worked with specialists to come in and work with them. I know Matt Thompson, a former guy that worked with Colorado specialists before, has worked with Colorado specialists here recently. So I think that helps to be able to, you know, fine tune some of the mental, physical aspects of some of those specialists. But from the overall picture of it, I mean, how well did it work with Trevor Riley and Michael Pollock the last couple of years? Not trying to pick on those guys, but it wasn't great, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't think, you know, and the one guy was kind of weird anyway, but, you know, I just don't see the point in bringing in a special teams coordinator. That's not something I've ever seen. Even back, you know, at CU under Coach Mack, he never had a special teams coordinator either. You know, each coach was responsible for a special team, so it's not a big deal to me.
Anthony McNeil said, I'm excited to see how this team goes. Seems like the players are excited. The coaches are excited. So this should be fun to watch. To your point, William, you got to have the springtime where hope does indeed spring eternal.
Well, yeah, and I think this would be a fun offense to watch, you know, and I think people should be excited just on that set alone that you know, Brendan Marion's got an offense that works, and he's got a lot of players to make it work. And so, you know, the question is going to be, will it work at this level? I think it will. And I think people are going to love what they see with an offense that is actually coordinated, which is, you know, the name of the coaching position suggests that it would be, but it wasn't the last 3 or 4 years. So hopefully that's exciting. I think one of the things I like about Chris Marv is having a defensive coordinator whose background is in the front seven, and, you know, going to make linebacker a priority and things like that. So there's a lot of things exciting. There's some guys here that I think are exciting players, you know, some we haven't even talked about, you know. So there's a lot to look at. I'm still waiting. I still want to see Emmanuel Iziogu with that kind of speed on the edge, you know. So there's a lot to watch for in the next 3 weeks or so to see what we do on this team as far as putting together that offense and defense.
We got some more votes for the Taco Bell Cups. Presto Money, Yaya Tia, Ben Finiseth, Boo Carter, at BK Alaskan voted. At Dan O underscore Sco voted for Juju, Boo, Yaya, and ESPN. I love that ESPN is just, everybody knows what that is now, and he hasn't even played it down for the Buffs.
Okay, you got to tell me who Presto Money is, though.
Presto Money, I think Preston Ashley, right? Correct me if I'm wrong there, BK Alaskan.
Yeah.
That kid's going to be pretty special, I think. Yeah. He and Boo Carter are going to be a tandem in that nickelback role. That, going back to the last question, that is one thing to be excited about.
Yeah. And, you know, Bukart, like we talked about earlier, it's just special level of talent.
We got somebody chiming in saying that Isaac Wilson stood out to them this past week. That's at you. You go for it, William. Give me your attempt there.
What's that? Kitananaki.
Kitananaki. Okay.
15.
Kitananaki 5809. Thanks for the comment there. We got another vote for Big Ben. People enjoying William's commentary. Somebody said on three, why go with the enemy? This is at OMIC bomb. I cannot speak to anything that happened at on three since I have joined the network. I think if you go to buffstampede.com or even at on three, you're going to not have any issues. I think it's better to have me on that team right now. I guess is how I'll leave that. William doesn't look a day over 60. That's pretty mean. Yikes.
Hey, another guy I thought about for to be on the cup, and you're probably gonna laugh out loud at this one, is Damon Greaves, the punter.
You actually do you believe that in your heart, William?
I don't know. He'd been I don't know. No. Wow, I was just trying to be nice, and then you're going to make me back it up. Wow, see, that just goes to show that's it. No more Mr. Nice Guy, man. People.
We got a chance to talk to Damon on Friday. There has to be at least one Australian on the football team at all times,
well, in that's my opinion. It'd be fun in a commercial. Maybe like Taco, mate. Taco, yes. On the Bobby, mate. Yeah, I think they should base it entirely on who's going to be the most fun in the commercial.
Yeah, no, I think we've got some great options here. Yeah.
You know, and say what you like about what we're going to do as a football team. We got some characters that'll be fun to interview.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Yeah. And shout out to Steve Hurlburt and Curtis Snyder from Colorado Sports Information Department. I mean, like, we got a ton of interviews. The first week, Monday was rough because, like I said, we had to stick to what was important. That was the tragic passing of Don Bonder. But being able to get a lot of interviews throughout the week was really helpful for us. Hey, it was good to get back out there.
Can you take that off of there? What are you trying to do to me, man? What? I thought we was friends, bro. hey, going back to the guy who mentioned that Isaac Wilson looked good. I thought that too. I saw him look pretty good out there and make some good throws and good decisions. And he's a guy with some experience at the Power Four level. So I agree with that. I also agree with what you said when you did your analysis with Brian, that they got to find another arm for that group.
Yeah, that was like. Like, do I say this week? But it's true, right? Like, you can't get through a college football season with three quarterback arms. No, you can't do it.
No. And primarily for practice, you know? I mean, just to have enough guys to run your scout teams and throw the number of balls you're going to throw practicing this offense and practicing against this defense. The other thing, another thing that jumps out at me was in the interview with Julian Lewis. He talked about he said something like Coach Marv's throwing this crazy new defense out there, and I'm trying to figure that out. So that's nice to hear, you know.
Definitely, yeah,
yeah,
yeah, no doubt about it. On the other side of this, we're going to get into a few recruiting updates. We're going to find out what William wants to see from the second week of spring ball, and then we're going to touch briefly on the so-called CU fight controversy, which is pretty silly. I think you know where we're going to come down on that one. So we'll come back with more analysis on the other side. Is your business growing but not quite ready for a full-time CFO? Macaulay Capital offers fractional CFO services for companies doing more than $3 million in annual revenue. You get expert financial leadership without the full cost. Learn more about how you can improve your business's profitability and cash management at MacaulayCapital.com. If you know Boulder, you know the Hungry Toad. We've been serving this town since 1991, long before the lines on Pearl Street. Just north of campus, we're your local British pub with proper fish and chips, quality burgers, a scratch kitchen, real English cask ale, and no tourist fluff. We support CU football, women's soccer, and the loyal fans who keep it local. The Hungry Toad, Boulder born, Buffs proud. All right, back into the show here. The Colorado Buffaloes had a couple talented receivers on campus this past Friday. Pottstown, Pennsylvania, Owens J. Roberts receiver, Matthew Gregory, and Ramsey, New Jersey, Don Bosco prep receiver, Isaiah Alvarez. Gregory is a four-star receiver, top 100 recruit ranked nationally. Tons of programs after him. He's got a visit set up with Penn State has got, I think, about 25 offers in total. Alvarez is a little bit lower rated right now, but he's also got 20 offers. He's got official visits lined up with Michigan State and Penn State for the future. If you go to the BuffStampede.com message board, look for the thread, two recruits on campus today from Friday, and there's some video on there of both those guys. So we're just getting started there. There were going to be a couple other recruits on campus this weekend, but they had the life of celebration for Don Ponder. So they're going to bring out some of those guys when they can actually come out and see a practice.
Right. And that's probably a better move to move things down a little bit. Looks like they're really getting after some interesting looking guys. So that looks fun. Somebody on the chat said something I agree with: be good in all phases of the game. And then somebody else said, stop the run. And I think that's right. You know, you stop the run, you can do a whole lot of things on defense, you know, and that's what we didn't do last year. So I think these three linebackers that came in are all going to be excellent at that. I'm a little concerned about only having six linebackers in that room and three of them being true freshmen. I don't believe Kylan Salter is moving to the defensive line. That's crazy. So I hope he's back in the linebacker room. And some of those edge guys we brought in, you know, the 6'2 and 230 type guys could maybe help out in there too. But Lampron and Leona Lufau and those two are special. Okay. And I think a lot of people are sleeping on Tyler Martinez. I think that kid's a better player than a lot of people think he is.
Yeah. You see a lot with these guys that have come in the press conferences, the size isn't there, but the dog mentality is.
And they're well coached. I mean, these guys, we watch a lot of their film, and Tyler Martinez is one of the most fundamentally sound linebackers I've seen in a long time. You know, somebody has coached him well. I think also, you know, there's a lot going on. They've got several guys working with linebackers and such. Like, I don't know if we're going to talk about the staff a little bit and what people are talking about it, but you got Marv, who was the linebacker coach, is in charge of it. Hart is still there in some form. And then you got Clancy Pendergrass, who's got more experience coaching college football than just about anybody on the planet, also helping out with the linebackers. So I'm excited about that room being much improved this year. And I think we saw in 2024, if you got a pass rush and you got solid linebackers, you can do a lot of things.
That was one thing that you wanted to delve into a little bit further. We'll kind of segue into that right now, William. You mentioned there are people on our message board saying our staff is not a Power Four staff, and maybe not even a lower division staff. I think that's a bit silly. Let's discuss that a little bit. It's one of those things that, like, for whatever reason, since Coach Prime came to Boulder, you've got people saying things to that extreme, and then you have people saying it's a guarantee this is the greatest staff ever. And it's like, just kind of the, I hate being in that middle ground, but the gap in terms of opinions of this program has widened so much in the last few years.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts. And even in the chat today, you know, there's some people talking about not going to be any good, and other people talking 8 wins. So, you know, a lot of people have a lot of different opinions. But You know, you and I both been following Colorado and other football teams long enough to know that, like, you know, Gary Bernardi came in. He'd been an offensive coordinator, offensive line coach at Notre Dame and USC and UCLA and every team under the sun, right? And then he came in here and he didn't do a damn thing. So who knows, right? By the same token, you know, every great coach out there started somewhere. So, you know, you get some young guys in here and sometimes they work out, do a great job. Other times they're learning on the job at our expense and then go be good somewhere else. So it's always hard to tell until you get out there on the field and see what guys are actually doing. But there's, I think there's also a lot going on behind the scenes. And that's, you know, with like one of the things, you know, that Coach Prime has done that some of our previous coaches didn't do, was to bring in an analyst type guy, right? And most of those analysts are experienced coaching guys, and they work with a particular group. You know, like Clancy Pendergrass has been defensive coordinator at USC, California, the Arizona Cardinals, and he's been around this game for a long time, and he's helping out with the linebackers. You know, Kenny Ingram's helping with the defensive line. He was 4 years at UCF as their defensive line coach, 1 year with Arkansas. Comes out of, you know, was a defensive tackles coach at Cincinnati. So, you know, people say, well, you know, our new defensive line coach, Dante Carter, has no experience. Well, they got a guy helping him out there, you know. So there's a lot of things that go on besides just the guy who's the named coach. Like the offensive line has three coaches. I think that's working out great. So is it the best staff in the Big 12? No, you know, but it looks pretty solid to me. I think we got two coordinators who, I mean, you know, Chris Marv has a lot on his resume in terms of being a coordinator and doing some good things, you know. So I think there's some good parts of this staff and some bad parts. You know, a couple of guys I'd like to not see out there. But I think if I go down each position, you know, like people don't think much about Josh Niblett, but that guy's a damn good coach, even though he has been a high school coach for a long time. Mm-hmm. He was a head coach and knows what the hell he's doing, you know. And so you stick him in a tight ends coach, which is traditionally a position where, you know, you stick in a guy to be a recruiter. And I think that's one of the things Josh Nibble is going to be, recruiting Florida and what have you. So I think there's a decent enough staff here, you know. I don't see the argument that it's not a P4 staff, you know. Yeah. I just don't see that argument.
I agree with you. Travis 7ZD said, I haven't noticed Boo being very vocal. Is that an issue? I would say if Boo Carter shows up every day, balls out, and he's paying attention in meetings, then everything is golden and rosy and wonderful there.
Yeah, well, and that's not his game, just like it wasn't Travis Hunter's game, you know. And I'm not saying he's Travis Hunter, but he got that kind of physical talent. And not everybody has to be that yelling, carrying on leader. We got those guys in the secondary. He just needs to show up and keep his stuff together, like you said, and play like he showed so far this spring.
Go Bucks 7870 said, Prime brings eyeballs, and many people would never comment about CU if he wasn't here.
That's a good segue into the fight thing if you want to go there.
Let's do it. Yeah. So
Because there is no other coach on the planet where fights in spring ball would be an issue except Coach Prime, because it's just silly and stupid, you know?
Yeah.
And you've been around, you know, and we used to be able to get into practices and we've seen fights. And I think it's silly that Chad Brown's trying to say that having fights in practices shows a bad culture. When I know for a fact, and I was there and I saw it, that there was fights in Coach McCartney's practices all the time, because you had big, really physical guys. You know, you're playing a gladiator sport, and you know you're going one on one, and people lose their temper and they get in fights, and that's the way it goes. And it, in my view, you know, if you don't see a little bit of that going on in practices, then they don't care enough, and they're not trying hard enough or whatever. I don't think there ought to be a fight after every play, but if you don't see some of that scrapping out there, you've got a passive team, you know. And so you go back to some of those teams in the last 10 years where you know, like Sefa Lufa getting cheap shotted and nobody on the offensive line stands up and jacks somebody into the stands, you know. I'd rather take that 15-yard penalty than have a guy cheap shot my quarterback, you know?
Yeah.
And I go back to the military too, you know. You know, we had fights in the Marine Corps, man. You want to tell us the Marines are not disciplined? I mean, that's just how it is. You got a bunch of guys, you got young men, you know, from 17 to 24, lots of testosterone going. They're playing a gladiator sport. You're telling them to go out there and you know, go to war with each other. And then people want to get bent out of shape because there's some fights. That's just stupid to me, man. It's not a controversy whatsoever. And the only reason why it's even an issue anywhere else is because this is Coach Prime's team, and the people trying to make it an issue are trying to make him look bad.
So there was a coach at Colorado that one time implemented a policy in practice that if a fight broke out, they would stop practice. The entire team would have to go over and do 15 gassers. And the 15 number was based on the number of yards. Obviously, you would get penalized in a college football game if that fight were to occur then. Guess what was the softest football team I ever covered at the University of Colorado?
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
You hate to say it, but this is a gladiator sport, man. And, right. And you've got to have that edge to you.
And you just, you know, you teach the discipline so that you don't have it in games, but you got to have that, like you said, you got to have that fighter's edge, that warrior mentality. And, you know, you got to kind of fine tune that, and guys got to know if you do it in games, but you don't see that many fights in games. I think it happens in practice more because these are guys, you know, and you're going against every day, you know, and you get a little fired up and you're your friends and probably, you know, you watch the videos, and this has happened in every practice I've ever been in. You know, guys give each other a hard time. Oh, you got burned, you know, and you got beaten, and guys don't like to be, you know, made fun of by their own team, or they feel like they got cheap shotted or whatever, you know. So most of these fights are nothing.
William, you and I have gotten in fights, and not fist fights, but
yeah,
because I look at you like a brother. Like, you know, yeah. It's like sometimes you just kind of, you're comfortable around that person enough to where you kind of let it go a little bit, but you come back to common ground very quickly, right?
Yeah, you know, I think most of the so-called fights we've had is because I say something stupid and then we figure work it out afterwards.
Well, I'm not perfect in that scenario, so I'm not gonna let you take all the blame there for sure. But we've got the spring game coming up on April 11th. I think we're hoping for some better weather this year. There are free tickets if you go to CUBuffs.com. William, as we close out this show, what are you hoping to see from this team week two of spring ball, or is it still kind of in that early phase where it's hard to overanalyze stuff?
Well, you know, somebody asked a good question here, Quiet T Love. In your honest opinion, did Coach Prime improve the team this season with the coaches and their added players? And I say yes, absolutely, on both levels. I think the coaching staff has far improved over last year, and I think the players have more talent. And the question is, can we put them together into a coherent team? So what I want to start seeing is more understanding of the offense and defense, and I'm sure they were probably pretty vanilla in that first week. So now they can start introducing other concepts and start to see a little more variety in what they're showing out there. I want to start seeing guys separate themselves from the crowd and see who the real stars of the team are and things like that, who the leaders are on the field. But, you know, it's still Colorado against Colorado, so it's hard to tell necessarily, you know,
sure,
what's good. Is it good because it's good, or is it good because the other side's not good? You know, so just continue to work at it. Everybody get a little more experience with each other. And just keep working hard and get better. I don't know. You know, I watched, saw a little bit of Dante Carter coaching the defensive tackles, man.
He's fiery.
He's a fiery dude, man. Yeah. And I like, he's yelling at somebody, and this was me as a defensive line coach too. They're starting to say, well, but coach, and he said, I don't want to hear it. It's an excuse. It's bullshit. You know, because you're going to get held. Don't cry about getting held. That's the way it works. It's your job to get their hands off of you. So I like what I've seen for him so far, and I would just like to see them continue to come together as a team, you know, and sort of start seeing some guys rise above the group and show who's going to be the stars on this team, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, this was a fun show. We've got some good stuff, some feedback to send back to Taco Bell. I'll go back through the chat and make sure everybody's votes got included, as well as yours and mine's. We'll get that added in there as well.
Spent plenty of time making fun of me, which is one of the best parts of the show.
I really didn't mean to leave that up there as long as I did.
And then I know one of my favorite posters on the board talked about when I said Damon Greaves, and then you kind of called me out, and I was like, come on, man, I'm trying to throw a bone out here, and you know, you always tell me you hate kickers and punters. I'll try to do something nice for a punter, and look what happens.
Well, I just know that when I get your top 40 Buffs countdown this year, I'm not going to see Damon Greaves' name on there. So the fact that you mentioned him as one of four guys for a cup, that just kind of threw me off. I had to further investigate that a little bit.
Yeah, but I don't think the four guys in the cup are necessarily have to be the best players per se.
That's true. Personality is kind of where we were going, right?
Yeah, and to me, the loyalty factor, that's why I picked all returning guys, you know.
Yeah. All right, fun show. We will be back next week to recap week two of Colorado's 2026 spring practices. Thanks, everybody out there, for tuning in. We appreciate your support. And again, we have joined the On3 Rivals Network at BuffStampede.com. And right now we're running a 5 months for $1 promo. So please check us out. This promo is not going to last much longer. So try to hop on board and take advantage of that, because we're going to have you covered as we head into the 2026 football season.